Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every day around this time we do the rundown. Let's do it. All right, so a couple of things. Grizzlies play tonight. Memphis Grizzlies. They moved here from Vancouver at the turn of the century, basically. They've gotten to a Western Conference Finals before, and they wear the sort of Beale Street blue. That's a little quick Wikipedia on the Grizzlies there. They are back in action tonight against the New Orleans Pelicans.
Who?
Yeah, the New Orleans Pelicans. Have they not moved yet? I mean, it's just amazing. Shouldn't they move? I'm not trying to, like, volunteer anybody, but, you know, we're trying to get our lease done.
From a valuation standpoint, they should.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
they're right
it's
there at the bottom.
But John Morant was not a shoot-around.
Yeah, illness, him and Santi.
We're both ill. You know, it's going around, dude. I mean, this is a real thing.
I'm guessing the same thing.
Me and John.
John was just fighting illness a little while, you know, like a week ago.
Against the Rockets, and he did play.
He played through it.
He did not go to
shoot like around. You. It's like you. It just hangs around. He's fighting it off.
It loiters.
Mm-hmm.
No loitering. You ever loiter?
Oh, my.
Loiter?
No.
Loiter.
Stay on task.
I apologize, man. It's Friday. You get a little stir crazy up in this mug.
We know how you get.
You know. But no John Morant shooting around. We'll see if he goes tonight. There was a little bit of an update on Jimmy Butler, though.
No Zion, no Brandon Ingram.
Yeah. I mean,
reportedly, too, for the
Grizzlies are a 34.5-point favorite tonight.
But to your Jimmy Butler news, this.
Yeah, so there's two things. One is a discussion that took place, again, I guess on that NBA, you know, I don't know what they call it, the ESPN NBA show yesterday. The Jimmy Butler Grizzlies connection kind of came up again, and this is how it went. That was Mark Spears, by the way, who said that. Jimmy Butler wants out of Miami except Memphis. Now, there are some theories about why he does not want to come to Memphis.
Give me your best, or the reported best.
The reported best, I would say, is that the Grizzlies don't want to sign him to a long-term deal.
Why would you?
And I think that's the key.
You got to be committed to getting Jaren up in here.
Yeah. So I think that's the rub there. Now, over at ESPN.com, Brian Windhorst, who I know you respect.
Very much so.
I know you respect him a lot.
Yep.
He broke down like NBA trade deadline intel by team.
I had not seen this.
And desperation level for each team. And he's got the Grizzlies at the medium level. He's got them at the medium level. He says that the Memphis has not stopped working the phones ahead of the deadline. They did check in about Dorian Finney-Smith.
Right.
They then added that the Grizzlies are lurking in these Butler trade talks and have been in contact with the Heat during the process. Rival league executives believe Memphis is trying to combine a talent influx with offloading some future salary so it can facilitate a contract extension for Jaren Jackson Jr. as early as this summer. Butler, meanwhile, has made it known that he could opt out of his contract this summer and seek free agency. Sources have theorized that if the Grizzlies can acquire him for a playoff run and also free cap space this summer, that is where their interests might lie. So
he doesn't want any part of you. That should be a part of this. And he's literally separating you now from the rest of the league.
Yeah.
So this idea of, yeah, you know, that you could make it work financially and still keep Jaren get with the extension and everything else, yeah, that's all fine and dandy on the part of a front office. But if Jimmy doesn't want to be here, again, what are you doing? You're paying top dollar for a situation that could explode on you. And we've seen Jimmy with younger teams before. It's his way or the highway.
Yep.
And with what he's done in the playoffs and what is it, two finals for him?
Yep.
You know he's going to come in here with the, I'm the experienced guy in the room. You guys need to follow behind me.
Yep.
That's not good for the culture you're trying to set necessarily. You'd be handing it over to him.
Yeah.
And I'm not at the highest of prices.
At the highest of prices.
So, and you're doing that, you know, for multiple years? No, I just can't see it.
I'm like
Harrington. The one way I might be cool with this, if I knew it was rental only and I'm not giving up a ton, now Miami's not going to make that deal if they're not getting anything for you. But my point is, if you're getting Jimmy for a rental and you don't have to worry about his future,
because
I don't think you want Jimmy Butler going, what do you all have to see now? I realize Pat Riley put him on blast, and Jimmy didn't deserve it with what he had done for the franchise, even as public as he can take things sometimes.
Uh-huh.
But let's be the way he's handled it now. I mean, Jimmy, even before this, diva now, man.
Yeah.
Remember how the way we've talked about how Jimmy's changed? And some of it is with accomplishment and everything he's accomplished, you know, done in the league.
Uh-huh.
You're going to change as a player. But remember, man, because what was it? Aki had him in JUCO. Like, we know Jimmy, we've seen Jimmy the whole way through. Have heard all the stories.
Yep.
The man was a worker.
He was
anything but a diva. Even in Chicago, starting out, he's the other thing now. I mean, and so I don't know that that's a something that you stick into the cauldron here in Memphis, and you mix it up that doesn't end up exploding in your face.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you 100% on this. I just don't know if the juice is worth the squeeze here.
But what's continuing to baffle me is that smart folks like Wendy and I think Bobby Marks even said, you know, the Grizzlies should, I guess Wendy didn't say the Grizzlies should do it, but he's talking about how feasible it is.
Right.
And Bobby Marks essentially said they should. Like, smart people are thinking, you know, the Grizzlies do. Is it medium urgency? See, I would question that.
Yeah.
There are things you can shore up. I would tell you this rebounding thing against some of the male fit. Can you get bigger? You know, is Zach Edey going to hold up?
Right.
Because you're going to need him to start a playoff game. Is he going to be ready for that? That's still to be determined. So could you shore that up? But I would put him on low urgency. But what's clear is that the Grizzlies have kicked the tires on a number of options. They think they need to improve.
Yeah. I mean, I would like, I mean, because the Marcus Smart trade was a whiff. So, you know, you still need that perimeter defender, you know, that option there. And, I mean, I guess if you want to say that it's going to be Vince Williams, but – I mean, that just seems more theoretical at this point than anything else. I mean, he's got his own, you know, health issues to kind of battle back from. So, I mean, I'm fine with the medium characterization, I guess I would say. I think they probably should be looking to do something.
Well, clearly they are, and I guess that warrants the medium from him. I just think you're still talking about a top five, net rating team in the league.
Right.
Top five or seven, both offense, defense.
Hey, I think that's the key, right? Don't break it.
How much do you want to, mess with it is the point.
Yes.
And Jimmy would be literally handing it over, and the risk, I think, perhaps greater than the reward there. Although, you know, Jimmy, the idea of him in the playoffs and that experience, sure, you could talk yourself into that could be a good thing on the court. If Ja and those guys fall behind,
right,
they're willing to do that.
Yeah, I definitely do not want to bring in somebody that's going to be a bad actor, you know, that's going to be all fussy and, you know,
just seems like that's where he's at in his career.
Yeah,
again, I Jimmy was my guy in Chicago, but he's changed too, just in terms of
it's got to be like
he can be toxic when he wants to be.
We know that.
I would tell you in this case, some of it Miami brought on itself, but this is who he is now.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know that you need any toxicity around this franchise right now.
No, he definitely
upgrades. Yes, but adding this kind of.
But, like, willing upgrades, too. Like, not guys that are going to be, like, you know, gritting their teeth or don't want to. Like, he doesn't want to, you know. Again, I'm not in those talks. I know there's probably some leveraging going on as well. Like, you know, that's why we keep hearing that he doesn't want to come to Memphis. Like, he's trying to force his way to a certain place. You know,
I mean, Phoenix is the one loading up to get him, it looked like, to me.
Yeah, but I don't know. I would just be very, very careful. I'd be very, 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 very careful. If not reticent, right, to bring in, I mean – if Jimmy Butler's not 10 times down with it, it's a pass for me. It's a pass. Like, I mean, the guy.
You don't want anybody that don't want to be here.
Not at all. Not with this group. I mean, this group is good because everybody there is a real cohesion. You know, I mean that's one of the things. Like, you know, they did the Oklahoma City thing before Oklahoma City did the Oklahoma City thing. You know, I mean they've always been a tight knit group. They've been together for a long time, and you know they have a certain synergy. And so I would really just be extremely cautious about introducing any different kind of element into that because Jimmy has a track record, bro. He has a documented track record of corrupting things. So I just, you know, if he doesn't want to be here, bro, I get it. You need, you know, it's tantalizing, and you do have to free up cap space to sign Jaren.
Yep.
You know, that's definitely a thing. But I would be very careful not to go crazy with this one with Jimmy Butler. So anyway, Grizzly's still getting mentioned. This thing has not gone away completely. If you thought that's where it was going to go, it has not done that. Windhorst still mentioning the Memphis Grizzlies as a potential suitor for Miami Heat star Jimmy Butler.
I just wonder if they should be looking for a big as opposed to another wing. Got a plethora of wings. Next story. All-star starters have been announced. No real surprises. And we knew Jaren Jackson Jr. wasn't going to be a starter, although our hopes are certainly high for him to be picked as one of the reserves. LeBron James extended his record after passing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's 19 selections last season. Uh-huh. He's starting alongside Nikola Jokic, Kevin Durant, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who went down to the weirdly, the Dallas Mavericks seem to own the Thunder this season. I think it's three or four. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, though, very deserving, had a 54 the other night, I believe it was. Golden State Warriors, Steph Curry. Heard, I think it was Perk, saying he thought Steph was the one that didn't necessarily belong.
Yeah.
Over in the East, it's Giannis, it's Jason Tatum, it's Donovan Mitchell, it's Jalen Brunson, and Karl Anthony Towns. The more important thing for us here in terms of the All-Star selections is going to be what happens with the reserves, which are obviously voted for by the conference coaches. And you got seven. The difference is this year you're going to break the Western and Eastern Conference teams down.
Yep.
12 of them apiece into three teams. So it's going to get weird.
Yep.
Here eventually when it comes to the actual All-Star festivities on Sunday. But the point is, seven reserves from each conference you still got. So a 1-1 there. Hopefully Jaren's going to be one of them because, again, you expect most of these coaches are going, and Dagnall will be from the Thunder, Kenny Atkinson from the Cavaliers, but there will also be assistants coaching those other teams because now you're going to have the rookie team too and everything else. But back to the point, those other coaches in the conference are going to pick Jaren Jackson Jr. as the Grizzlies representative based on the fact that he has been the best player from the team that's the number three seed in the Western Conference. I just don't, again, it's only seven slots, but this seems obvious. It would feel like disrespect, not just to Jaren and the season he's had, where he's at in his career right now, best offensive player, best defense. He's leading you in scoring, he's your best defensive player, but really to the Grizzlies franchise. You would essentially be doing what Jimmy Butler just did. Right. Saying, man, they, you know, anywhere in the NBA except for that one spot, man, except for, remember, you would be doing that. The Grizzlies, as one of the best teams in the West, not having any representation. So back to the point, we will find out next Thursday on TNT, again, based on that voting by each conference's coaches.
Yeah, I mean, you're you know, right there in the West. I mean, you got to have somebody.
Your top five team net rating. The Grizzlies got to have a representative. And then we'll see, you know, with Jalen and I suppose Jalen and Zach Edey. Got to imagine the part of that.
I don't have a great feel, but it definitely feels like, you know.
Steph or Anthony Edwards in terms of that last spot.
I'll give it to Steph. I got to give it to Steph. Career achievement, bro. Just, you know. I mean,
I think Ant has more threes than Steph this season.
Well, they've given Steph a terrible roster. You know, he's been having to really be Superman this year.
Cool.
You know, I mean, I would say Ant's, I mean, if you give Steph Ant's roster and you give Ant Steph's roster, how do you think they would look? I mean, dude, I don't know how many real NBA players the Warriors actually have.
Who's Ja going to move to the side when he becomes a perennial starter?
Who do you move to the side the year he made it? I guess he wasn't a starter, though.
He hadn't been a starter. No, you'd had him been voted for that. No, he wasn't a starter.
But, like, who did not make it the year
he made it? At some point in his career, right, we said this about Ja these first few years, at some, yes, he hadn't done enough that kind of damage, right? At some point in his career, he will get worldwide votes, and he will be one of the top vote-getters and a regular starter, right?
I mean,
it won't be Steph. You'll have him and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and yeah, and Anthony Edwards always on the outside looking in?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean,
or is Ja never going to be a starter? That was our assumption early in his career. Is that going to turn out to be wrong?
It may be. I mean, it's very possible because
you will not have to worry about Steph here shortly.
Yeah, his scoring is way down.
But you do have SGA and you got Anthony Edwards.
I mean, the years he made the All-Star game, he averaged 28 a game and 26 a game. And he's only averaging 21 a game this year.
Yeah, not playing enough.
You know,
that's not even.
And, yeah. I, and obviously not playing enough. So, I mean, his scoring is way down this year. His three-point shot is down this year. So not that he's ever been a great three-point shooter, but, you know, I don't know. It's interesting. I would probably bet against that. I'd probably bet against Ja being an All-Star starter just because, you know, I think the Grizz are so balanced. I mean, maybe if they're the one seed or something, you know, and his scoring has to get back up there. He's got to average 25 a game. You know, 21's not going
to. Does he to get the fan vote?
I mean, if the Grizz are number one in the West, probably not. But, I mean, the availability is the best ability as well. And
you need a run to the Western Conference Finals or the Finals.
Yeah.
You know, so the world's watching again. That's what you need.
Ja's had an odd year, man. He's not his percentages are down. His scoring is down. His turnovers are a career high right now.
I think I'll take it all because his defense is up.
Right.
The effort.
Right.
The you know, his effort level on that end, his attention to detail is up.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. He is averaging 8 assists a game, basically, which is kind of what he's done the last 3 seasons. But, yeah, I guess, you know, I would bet against that right now because, you know, the scoring kind of has taken a dip. But I mean, that doesn't necessarily – this is just an individual thing. Like, the team is still obviously very good, and it needs him. But, I don't know, individually, he has changed his game a little bit.
I guarantee you this thing's going to be a bust. The breaking it up into 3 teams and then having the rookie sophomore team that wins up in it, nobody cares about that mess.
Right.
So good luck with that, Adam Silver. But your starters announced. Hopefully we'll find out next week, next Thursday, that Jaren Jackson Jr., a member of the Western Conference All-Stars.
All right, got some NFL news. The Raiders have hired their next coach.
Hey, congratulations. Congratulations.
And it is...
Everybody in here got a new coach.
Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll, at the young age of 73 years old, he'll be 74 when the season starts, has gotten the job with the Raiders. And, you know, this would have been a great hire 15 years ago. No question about that. I do think maybe based on what was available to the Raiders, it was the best they could have hoped to do. I mean, he's the biggest name. He's the most proven. You know, Liam Cohen's going to the Jags after, you know, coming back to the Bucks and then ignoring their calls when he was visiting the Jags. So I don't know if I really would want a turncoat like that, a traitor.
Oh, that was weird.
Yeah. So, I mean, what are you talking about after him? Who do you have? I mean, it's a bunch of, you know, Todd Monken, you know, the Ravens offensive coordinator. No thanks.
He's pretty good in the regular season.
Spagnuolo, we've kind of seen him as a head coach, right? Like, he wasn't great. And I'm not sure he would be that much different than Pete Carroll, right? I mean, he's an older guy too. So I'm not sure the candidate list was great. And so given that, I'm fine with it. It's a 3-year deal with a 4th-year option. I'm hopeful that it can be okay. I mean, he is a Super Bowl champion coach. And what gives me a little hope about him is that Russell Wilson ain't done a damn thing since he has been with Pete Carroll.
Well, he threw the moon ball.
That's it.
But Pickens got to be out there to catch
it. That's it. He does. I mean,
got the moon ball. We still throw one of the best deep balls in the league.
Russ Wilson
hanging on to that.
It's a
moon ball.
Maybe we get a reunion, right? Maybe we get a Russ Wilson Pete Carroll reunion in Las Vegas.
I could easily see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? I mean,
because you won't want to pay for Sam Darnold or something like that. I mean, that's the only other guy, right? And maybe somebody outbid you for him.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. So I mean, and I don't necessarily know what went wrong, and I mean, I don't know whose fault it was in Pittsburgh. Like there were a couple of weeks where they were like scoring 35 a game.
Oh, it's once Pickens got hurt, everything went to heck. because actually it yeah. looked decent in terms of the numbers from Russ.
Right.
When Pickens, well, once he got hurt, it was yeah. never the same. He tried to come back.
Yeah.
They didn't have the same connection. You take the deep ball away from you, they were dog water.
Now, I don't know how it ended with offense. Those two, so well, that will remain to be seen. But, I just think given what you could have actually done, you lose out on Ben Johnson. That was your first choice. Okay.
It appears so.
So go get Pete Carroll, you know, hope that he kind of restores you to a little bit of credibility.
I think where you're right is like, who's better? Mike McCarthy better?
No.
Well, he hadn't done what Pete Carroll's done in the playoffs.
No.
So I would agree with you, no.
Yeah.
It's like, what was left? Of what was left, you probably got, if you're not going to take some gamble on some guy, when, you know, then,
right.
then this was probably the best thing to do.
Yeah,
he will bring stability to your organization.
That's right.
But it won't matter at all. The coach, you know, the Bears, you need the coach with the quarterback, but that's the key.
That's right.
More important now than what Pete Carroll's got left in the tank or what the plan is the next 3 years is that they get the guy under center.
Right.
Or at least get you a bridge and get the new young one in there that you're going to be working on, because it does, like I told Jeff, you have a Hall of Fame coach. You can have, you know, freaking Matt Nagy out there. Doesn't matter if you don't have a quarterback.
Yeah. So, You have Pete Carroll to the Raiders, and I'm just saying that this news now come across.
Eberflus, I should have said.
Bobby Slowick is out as the offensive coordinator in Houston. I mean, he was a hot name for a minute, and you know, they win a game in the playoffs, lose to the Chiefs, and he is out.
That's interesting to me because I thought their issues offensively this year were more offensive line oriented.
Right.
But you know, they did take a step back offensively from the year before, but it seemed to me like a lot of that was up front.
Could he be a Bear? Could he go to the Bears?
No, I think I think ROC is going to be the Detroit offensive line coach.
Oh,
I think
gotcha.
That's what I thought reported. Maybe it's not. Maybe not okay. done. Or
that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. You want to further raid Detroit as well?
Slowick's going to find somewhere. It would not shock me. I mean, we have to also look. Seattle's looking for an offensive coordinator now
right.
as well. Raiders. Jets,
yeah, I think
Jags,
Raiders will make sense. Yeah, I mean, he'll have his options.
Yeah.
So you got your Pete Carroll take, and everybody knows how I feel about Ben Johnson, but we must get your Aaron Glenn take, King George, on the Jets hire.
Yeah, I'm happy with it. I think it's particularly cool that we're getting a former player, former Pro Bowler with the team, someone who kind of embodies what you're looking for, just gritty player, all that, and. For what it's worth, you know, because I've obviously listened to a lot of people and read up a lot, because at first I was like, I don't know, that defense has had some shaky issues at times. But from everything I've read and heard from people smarter than me and know him a lot more than, well, any of us really do, they look at him more as a culture-building type coach as opposed to, okay, he's going to come in here and say, defense, we're playing like this. Offense, have fun with it. He's going to be more of that overseeing type of coach as opposed to I'm looking at my defense and that's it. So it feels a little bit different than the last, well, four coaches really that the Jets have hired, being, you know, the trend of first time defensive coaches as the head coach of the Jets. Adam Gase, he doesn't count. He's, well, himself. Let's not talk
well.
About him.
Yeah. Well, look, he'll be a.
I think he's gonna be. Glenn's gonna be a sneaky good hire.
Yeah,
yeah. He'll either be that or he'll be a good scapegoat after 25 games.
But Saints wanted him too, right?
Yes.
Didn't he have essentially a choice between the two?
Mm-hmm.
And he went back home and went to the Jets. He was. There's people like him. What George talking about is real, man. I think he goes in there like we talked about off air and can potentially change the culture like D'Amico Ryans did in Houston. Just be that energy guy, that leader, and you pick the right people. Underneath you, delegate things correctly, and you can get that thing turned around, at least get the culture back to, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, that's what I think Carroll is going to do with the Raiders. I mean, even towards the end there with Seattle, they were still always competitive.
They were.
Always playing hard for him. I think that's kind of what they're going for with that hire.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, again, your options were pretty limited, so.
Problem is, though, it competitive just doesn't, it can only, it just gets you by in the AFC West.
Yeah, I mean,
like, true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're right. I mean, I agree completely.
Well, if we're going to just be crocheting in the corner anyway, we might as well make it as interesting as we can, you know? It doesn't really matter who we could hire, right? You know, we're
everybody
stuck.
In the division has a QB.
Yeah, and until we do, it
and they're all pretty darn good coaches, too.
Yeah, I mean, Pete Carroll fits into that. I mean, that's, you know, so I like that piece of it. But it also kind of feels like, are we ever going to be in a situation where we can draft a quarterback because we win too many damn games? Like, we win 8-9 games, right, miss the playoffs.
You'll get another one where these, it wasn't 5, it was 6 last year in the first round. You'll get you know, you'll get another year where there's more to choose from.
Yeah.
I feel you about being maybe top, you're not going to be top 5, but right, what are you, 6 this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, you get that in a better crop of quarterbacks, you'll get a guy.
Yep.
At some point.
All right. We'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Parth Upadhyay is going to join us at 125. We'll talk to him about the Memphis basketball win last night. It's AAC disgrace and more. Stick around. Jason and John, how do you turn to film? Yes, again. Where have I been betting? Zen Sports. That's where I've been. And during the month of January, it's the VIP Players Club Sweepstakes. And you can get brand new higher level prizes. One grand prize winner wins a $10,000 bonus bet on the NFL game in February and $10,000 cash. I just put that cash right back on the game. That's what I do. You ain't got to do that, but that's what I do. I try to turn that 20 into a 40. You know what I'm saying? Hit a big lick. You can do that with Zen Sports. You got the ability to earn entries on every bet you place in January, and every dollar that you wager. If you don't win the grand prize, you can still win one of 5 small prizes, which grants you either a $1,000 bonus bet or $250 cash. All you got to do is sign up using promo code Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N. You get 500 bonus entries. It's going to put you in the mix for at least the small prizes, and then the rest is up to you. Zen Sports, Z-E-N Sports. Betting just got better. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. Now, I don't know if, at least I don't think that Shohei's man was on Zen Sports, but I do think that
Mizuhara.
Yeah, if Mizuhara was on Zen Sports with the amount of money that he was wagering, he definitely would have won the grand prize. I mean, it just would have been impossible. I mean, there would have been trillions of entries.
Right.
You know, I mean, because you get $1, you know, you get an entry for every dollar that you wager. So, I mean, how many bets did he make?
19,000, I think we said.
19,000? And I mean, he wasn't betting $200 a game.
No.
I mean, he was betting big money.
No, and calling the bank.
And calling the bank.
To get those transfers a lot more than, we're talking $200,000, bro.
Yeah, so Ipe Mizuhara, of course, was Shohei's interpreter. And if you missed, you know, or have forgotten, he made a ton of bets, sort of using Shohei Ohtani's, his association to Shohei Ohtani.
Actually, I'm a 3-year period.
I mean, still, that's what, 6,000 bets a year, bro? I mean, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, let's see how many bets I made.
Compared to you.
Let's see how many bets I made in the past year. Would that interest you?
Is it still a lot?
Well, we'll see. Let's look. How many bets did I make in the last calendar year?
You're going to know this from all of your platforms?
I track.
All in one place?
I track all my bets.
How about that? That sounds responsible.
Totally.
If gambling as much as you do is.
All right, so from January 25th of last year to January 24th of this year, how many bets did I make?
812.
530.
Okay, so now we can feel a little... You know?
Yeah, that's like peanuts compared to old eBay over here. Yeah, that's
so. It's not an addiction. Yay, dude! That's still a lot of bets.
Round of applause, George.
I got you.
This guy wants to feel better about how much he's betting. That's what this story is.
I didn't know. I was just curious how I stacked up to 530.
Oh, I mean, he, for what it's worth, he doesn't have a $700 million man bankroll.
You don't know what I got.
I don't think it's a Shohei in your back pocket.
I got
that man has Lyft the whole Lyft organization. You know.
Oh wow.
Let it fly.
Exactly.
But he got let it fly money. He can tap into.
Now, I don't like
not
to. I don't like
money.
You forgot about the M33M money.
Hey,
Mike Miller money. He can tap into.
You ever heard of the foundation, brother? We can tap into that foundation, nonprofit.
Don't get too far behind like Mizuhara did.
Nah, all my
Mizuhara.
All my stuff is up front. That's the other thing too, right? Like he was playing into a credit bookie, and so that's where he kind of got sideways.
Okay,
you know my stuff is I put up the cash up front with my retail places, right? Zen Sports, to name just one of them. But there are some details that are emerging about Mizuhara's you know, I don't know, schemes?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know what you'd call it.
How he went about this, basically. You know, he didn't, this wasn't a deal where he wasn't, you know, he was, you know, it was, it's obvious he's misrepresenting himself. This wasn't a deal where it was okay with Shohei. That's what it proves. This takes, yeah, you know, anybody that still had some suspicion with now this going public, at least suspicion about Shohei and his involvement in gambling or illegal proceedings or whatever else, this clears, they clear Shohei. Exactly. For him, it's a good thing. For Mizuhara, though, it just shows how deep he was in it.
Exactly.
But we got the audio, right?
Yes. Yeah,
so of him talking to Shohei's bank.
This is at least one example of how he was coming into the money and figuring this all out. Take a listen. Okay. What is your relationship to the payee? Yeah, so...
She goes on to ask whether there'll be any future wires to your friend. He says, possibly.
Well, yeah. I mean, Carlo...
He sounds depressed. Sounds like a man that's behind 40-something million.
Is that how much it was?
That's how much he got in debt. He owes 17. But
oh
he's 40 million in debt.
That is absolutely...
He racked up a debt of 40.7 million.
That is absolutely insane.
It is.
I mean, that is like...
According to the, U.S. Because, District Court.
Like, there's a chance that this guy is the worst sports bettor of all time.
And Pierce, he's up there with the best of them.
Because, you know... It even still,
best of the worst.
It's supposed to be.
And you got Brad, and then you got Mizuhara.
Right. I mean, really, you got to do Fade Mizuhara segments. It's still supposed to be even at post, it's still supposed to be like a 48-52 kind of thing. So even if he, you know, lost, you know, he still win 45% of the time and be a loser. This guy lost. It feels like everybody made. How the hell do you get in $47 million of debt in sports betting? I mean, it's honestly impressive how horrible he was. Like, it's just as hard to be that bad.
Yeah, what they're allowing him to put down because he's so bad is higher than anything they're going to give you or anybody else, right? That's how that happens.
Oh, yeah. I can only bet that's $10 on some place.
Right. I'm sure with as bad as he was, they'd let him put as much down as he wanted to. That's how you rack it up.
But damn, bro. I mean, that is just pathetic. It's just hard to go, like, the opposite, right? The inverse. You know, that's the thing. It's just hard to...
But I could see, a bad gambler getting just as addicted as a good one and going, you know, like this.
Yeah.
Just out of control. Like it was... He sounded, again, on the phone like he almost regretted doing it or was in a depression. But he clearly was ready to do it multiple times because he told her essentially he'd be back to get some more.
No, he did. He let her know.
And he had all of, he had downloaded all of... Shohei's account number stuff and identification to his phone so he could, you know, say, I'm Shohei, here's my numbers and everything else. I mean, it's as bad as it got. Was going to work for Uber to try to pay this off. They fired him once his picture got out publicly.
Damn, Uber fired him?
So paying that, he's already told, you know, the prosecutors, I can't pay the $17 million back.
Damn.
To Shohei.
Damn. Yeah, he ain't getting that back.
But it does absolve Shohei. Because at one point when this story first broke, I mean, you know, I certainly had my suspicions of how involved Shohei might be. You really going to let this guy's going to have access to your accounts and he can get to your big money? He can get to your money like this? That doesn't make any sense. Surely Shohei, you know, either allowed him to or, you know, had it was a gambler himself. This, you know, this would seem to absolve him completely.
Absolutely,
when
right.
You hear the audio.
No, there's no question.
And the guy's saying, I'm Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, no, Shohei's been absolved. No doubt about that. But, man, tragic situation. No question. You know, for Shohei and this money, I think he'll be okay. What's his contract? Like $1 billion?
And it's all like deferred. It'll be coming later on.
So he'll survive.
He's got New Balance money like to live on. I think it's New Balance.
Now, let me ask you this. I don't know where,
the Dodger money can just sit.
So from where you keep your money, right? Obviously, we recommend our friends at Leaders Credit Union.
That's
right. They're not a bank.
Yesterday, the Bartlett branch. And we just opened up the Arlington branch. Glad you mentioned it.
Do you have fraud protection? Do you have
I do. I do. I get texts and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. You have to.
You get texts. Okay. That's good. That's good.
How are these not hitting Shohei's, though?
I don't know.
Yeah, why wouldn't it have texted his phone?
Yeah, that's a good question.
That 200,000 just came across. We just, you know?
I mean, that's a hell of a question. I do not know, because that's not an insignificant amount of money. Like, you feel like that would be,
and she's
like,
telling him, we have wire, right. We've had issues.
Exactly.
Like, why you wouldn't have that, what is it, the double what do they call it, the double verification on everything?
Two-factor.
Thank you, sir. See it everywhere. They want you to go to the two-factor verification. Thank you, George.
Two-factor is everywhere, you're right.
I mean, you need seven-factor on these when you're transferring $200,000.
Mm-hmm.
So there weren't enough factors.
Not enough factors.
Clearly.
I don't know what was going on. But it happened.
They made it easy for him.
2024, man. And he got away with it for at least a little bit.
Do we know what bank that is?
No, I don't.
No.
Because they might have some people pulling some money out if it's just over the phone. Who's calling? Shohei?
I bet it's out there, though, for those folks that have reported the story and all that. It must be when you've got the audio and everything. February 6th is when Mizuhara will be sentenced.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, what a dumbass bank. And they just take the...
Take your word for it, yeah.
Yeah, this is Shohei Ohtani. Yes, I play for the Angels or the Dodgers, you know. Yes, please send all the $400 million, please send to this wire, this account. Thank you, bye-bye.
If you have the date of birth and all that, like they typically ask you, your account number and all those things they run you through, nobody's sitting there saying, well, I remember you from last time.
Yeah.
You can get through, and he had all of that.
Yeah.
And true. It sounds like a true. you know you got an accent like you would expect. I don't know. You're right. I mean, you have to tighten up on something. But this is what we do when we make bank transfers. We give them the numbers you need, and he had all the numbers.
Dude, he started with a $20,000 credit line. He ran that thing up. That's unbelievable. It truly is. It's crazy, crazy story.
You would have turned that $20,000 into $40 million, huh?
I'm not saying I would have turned it into $40 million, but I would not owe $17 million. I mean, good
that's
grief.
Just what he owes Ohtani.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
But the debt, I guess the bookie's got to eat it. I mean, what happens with that?
Well, dude, that bookie got paid quite a bit.
Who eats all the debt? Whoever you understand what I'm saying? Like, who eats that? Like, he took 17 from Ohtani that he owes. That's what the prosecutors wanted to pay Ohtani. But he racked up $40.7 million in debt.
Well, yeah.
I'm assuming is never being paid off.
Yeah.
Who's getting the short end?
Well, the bookie, right?
That's what I said.
Yeah, but the bookie's operating illegally anyway.
I was about to say, who's
eating that? Who's eating? Because he's not the 40.7 in debt.
Yeah,
that's not getting paid off.
I mean, I guess he took 17 from Shohei.
Took 17 from Shohei that
so,
he's being
so
ordered
the,
from prosecutors
the,
to pay back.
The bookmaker is eating it. That's who's eating it. They're saying if he's a $30 million.
I mean, is it putting him out of business? Does this put him out of business?
Well, no, because he just made $17 million. I mean, he got the $17 million. I don't know if that had to be forfeited or not, but... He got paid $17 million from quote-unquote Shohei. So, I mean, dude, if you're $17 million, how the hell are you going broke? Again, unless you have to, you know what I'm saying, give it back to the government. I don't know how that works.
I'm with John on this one. I thought the bookie himself was also operating illegally.
Well, he 100% is. The bookie is 100% operating illegally.
I thought he was caught up in it. I didn't know if he... Because, of course, the media is just going to talk about the Shohei and his interpreter. They're not going to talk about this random bookie who's taking all $17 million in illegal bets.
Yes, exactly. Now, he's got his own stuff going on, the bookie, right?
Yeah.
He pled guilty.
That's what I was asking.
To money laundering and subscribing to a false tax return. So I don't know. There's no bookmaking charge there, but... Yeah, he was taking wagers from more than 700 bettors.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, you can't do that, you know, because there's regulated books, right? There's regulated sports books and casinos and things like that. It's the bookie that ultimately Jason has. Matthew Boyer is his name. But again, that man made $17 million off this dude.
Right.
I mean, that's you set for life if you know. If you hid that in a Swiss bank or something, I don't know what you did with it, but I don't know, man. If he did it the right way, then he should be straight. Anyway, yeah, crazy story that I guess so that's the news, is that the feds are sinking a 57-month sentence for Mizuhara.
That's what they're asking for?
Yeah.
Yeah, he asked for 18. Based it on he has a gambling addiction, there was nothing he could do.
Yeah, so I'm sure they'll come somewhere in the middle there.
February 6th is the sentencing date.
Yep. All right, we'll come back. Parth Upadhyay going to join us at 125. We'll talk to him about Tigers, about this league, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 93.9 FM, ESPN.